Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Phantom Galaxy. I'm your host, Nathan Bartlebaugh, and we have two big reviews for you tonight, one for the movie Wonder Woman, and a second one for another superhero movie coming out this week called Captain Underpants, the movie. And in a moment, Chris and I, we'll bring you a review from the premiere of Wonder Woman. Before we do that, I have a very special guest with me tonight, my son, who's here. Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
Say hi to everyone out there.
Hi.
Okay. So, Johnny, why are you here tonight?
Because I'm doing the Captain Underpants podcast with you.
That's right. So, let's start. Captain Underpants. We went to see it at the screening on Saturday. It's a new animated movie. It's based off a series of children's books that are several years old now. And was it in 3D?
Yes.
What did you think about that 3D? Was it cool?
Yes.
Okay, so we saw it. We saw it with, it was me, you, and your sister. And why don't you tell me what it's about?
It's about Captain Underpants.
Well, it is about Captain Underpants. But what's the story really about? Because even though Captain Underpants is the superhero, the story's really about something else. It's really about two other characters. Who are they? You want to tell us about them?
It's about Harold and George.
Who are Harold and George?
Two boys.
And what do they do? What do they like to do?
Draw comics.
They do like to draw comics. Comics about what?
About Captain Underpants.
Who's Captain Underpants to them? Is he a hero they created?
Mm-hmm.
And who does Captain Underpants fight in the comic books?
Professor Poopy Pants.
Yes, he does. So they go to Jerome Horrocks Elementary School. Did you know that Jerome Horrocks is actually the name of one of the Three Stooges? That was his real name, Curly. Remember Curly Howard? We watched the Three Stooges?
Mm-hmm.
Jerome Horrocks is his real name. So they're kind of referring to the Three Stooges. Is that pretty cool?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the principal at the school?
Mr. Krupp.
Yeah. Is Mr. Krupp a nice principal or is he kind of a mean principal?
A mean one.
What does he do?
He separates them in separate schools.
In separate classes. He sends them to separate classes. Does he tear their comic books up too sometimes, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And why doesn't he like George and Harold? What are they always doing? They're always playing what?
They're playing comics.
Well, they're playing comics, but they also play what?
So they play pranks.
What kind of pranks do they play? Do you remember some of the pranks? Don't they mess with the water fountain and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Harold and George, they don't want to be separated, do they?
No.
So what do they do to Mr. Krupp?
They hypnotize him with the ring.
And so a ring, and this is a ring that they got, a little toy plastic ring, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I think they got it out of a cereal box or something. What happens when they hypnotize him? They make him do what?
Turn into Captain Underpants.
And what does that mean? He does what?
He takes off his hair and his clothes.
His hair. That's right, because Mr. Krupp wears a wig, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And when he turns into Captain Underpants, he thinks he's a superhero, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he runs around and tries to fight crime, but the boys try to stop him because he's not really a superhero, is he? He can't really fly, and he doesn't have superpowers.
He got his superhero powers from the giant toilet.
Okay, that's a little bit of a spoiler, so we don't want to tell people the ending yet. Who's the evil villain in this movie? Do you remember his name?
Professor Poopy Pants.
Professor Diarrhea... Pee-pee Diarrhea Stein von Poopy Pants? So, Johnny, tell me, did you like this movie?
Yes.
Why did you like it?
Because it was about poop and cat in our pants.
Is poop one of your favorite things?
Yes, and gas.
And gas. What do you think your favorite part of the movie was?
The giant toilet.
A giant robot toilet, right? So, this movie, as you can tell from what Johnny is saying, is very silly. It has a lot of talk about poop and butts and underpants and poopy pants. And I think my favorite line was, you remember that when they say Uranus is a gas giant? So you thought all the poopy humor was funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the superhero stuff?
Yes.
So while the movie has a lot of silly kind of humor, it does have a lot of kind of superhero antics in it too. But this is really the story of George and Harold, isn't it? And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Diary of the Wimpy Kid movies, where the kids use their imagination to come up with things. Because you use your imagination sometimes to come up with stories about superheroes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you may use your imagination to come up with stories about butts, don't you?
Mm-hmm. And kind of like creepy stories.
Yeah, you like to tell creepy stories. You like to tell creepy stories to your sister, don't you?
Yeah, I like to tell her monster trains.
So, but in this story, George and Harold, they aren't telling stories to scare people. They're telling stories to cheer people up because everybody in the school is a little bit sad. And Mr. Krupp's a little bit sad too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of part of the story too, because when Mr. Krupp becomes Captain Underpants, he's happier, isn't he? But the boys keep using the ring because they don't want Mr. Krupp to do what?
Separate them.
Yeah. So the movie's also kind of about, though, treating people kindly and with respect, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And about being kind to everyone, even the people that sometimes aren't kind to you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that part of the story?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you like Professor Poopy Pants?
Mm-hmm.
Did you think he had a silly name?
Diarrhea Poopy Pants.
So, would you watch this movie again?
Mm-hmm.
Would you go to the theater to see it?
Yes.
Would you think everyone should go see this movie?
Yes.
From 1 to 5 stars, how many stars would you give it?
5, because I'm 5 years old.
So, 1 star is not good, and 5 stars is excellent. Is it 1 star, bleh, 2 stars, eh, 3 stars, pretty good, 4 stars, great, or 5 stars, excellent?
Excellent, 5 stars.
5 stars, there you go. Little Johnny says, 5 stars for Captain Underpants, go see it. Thanks, man. All right, you done?
Yes.
Say goodbye to everyone. Say goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, everyone.
Diana. Fighting does not make you a hero.
What if I promise to be careful? Just a shield, then.
Diana.
No sharp edges.
Be careful of mankind, Diana. They do not deserve you.
You've told me this story.
What is this place? Who are you people?
We are the bridge to a greater understanding.
Right.
What is your mission?
Well, here's the thing. You are in more danger than you think. The boys in the trenches called her Dr. Poison. Millions would die. The war would never end.
I'm going, Mother. If you choose to leave, you may never return.
Hello, everyone. This is Nathan Bartlebaugh, and I'm here with Chris.
Hey, guys.
And this is a little bit different than normal because we are recording in the car directly after the Wonder Woman screening. We wanted to be able to get you guys a review and get it up in time for the release of the movie. So we're going to bring you a sort of shortened review right now. Just walked out of it about 5 to 10 minutes ago. And this was a movie that we've mentioned a couple times on the podcast. We've been cautiously optimistic for. DC's burned us a couple times now.
Multiple times, yeah.
And certainly in terms of their DC universe, we just got news again this week due to a very serious tragedy in Zack Snyder's life that he's not going to be finishing the Justice League and they're going to bring in Joss Whedon to kind of edit and I think pull the pieces together. They're still assuring everyone it's going to be Snyder's film, but they're still having issues getting this whole thing up off the ground. Mm-hmm. So to me, this movie seemed to be the line, the sand that I think if they didn't have a hit here, they're going to have a harder time selling us
Absolutely.
Justice League in November.
Yeah.
So let's start out just basic impressions. This is going to be a spoiler-free review. At some point, maybe in the future, we will delve into spoilers. But, I mean, this is our first impressions. I know for me, sometimes things even change after you walking right out of something. But, Chris, what do you think?
I enjoyed this one. I think they did a good job with introducing the characters, or I guess the main character, if you will. I think that as an origin story go, this is a pretty decent attempt at taking a stab at like a really mystical origin story for a DC character. I liked it. I liked it a lot. They had some flaws, but I enjoyed myself a lot. How about yourself, Nathan?
So actually, walking in, I didn't have a ton of expectations. The reviews had been pretty good, so I wasn't quite sure what to expect. Knowing that Patty Jenkins directed the film, I was hoping that that would pull it a little bit further from the kind of style and what we saw in the Batman vs. Superman, mm-hmm. that kind of Snyder-like style. And I'll be honest, I'm actually pretty happy and pretty impressed with what we got. I think, honestly, it's a very strong superhero movie. It's a strong adventure movie. For the most part, it stands alone and on its own, like, two mm-hmm. feet, I thought. Yeah. I thought it was a very entertaining summer movie. And there's a couple of things that surprised me, and perhaps it shouldn't have, because some of this was evident in the trailer. If you take some of the action scenes, some of the ones particularly where they use some of that Snyder slow-mo, and I'm probably not completely alone in this, but I know a lot of people are still a fan of watching two characters punch each other with superpowers. I'm getting a little tired of that personally. So there was some of that mm-hmm. that by the time we arrived there, I could have taken or left it, basically. But the cinematography in the film, the cinematography and the set design and the overall feel, particularly in the beginning when we start in Themyscira and we kind of work out and we see what's going on in the world, and mm-hmm. Wonder Woman moves from being sheltered with the Amazons to seeing the world at war, the filmmaking on this is really, really good.
Yeah, miles away from Snyder's work in the DCU so far.
Oh, yeah, well, miles away from that. And honestly, in a lot of ways, it's even more realistic and a little more ambient in terms of the way they're presenting things than it was in even, like, the Captain America, the first mm-hmm. Avenger. I mean, there's a lot less of this sort of choppy, kind of by-the-books commercial filmmaking. And in a lot of ways, the early going is kind of character-driven, mm-hmm. or at least conversations driven. There's a lot of scenes where we're just watching characters talk in various locations, mm-hmm. and we do see Wonder Woman realizing what the world is, and that things aren't always as simple as here's your force of evil and here's your force of good. But that isn't really handled, in my opinion, in a ham-handed sort of way, or a really generic way. Those things seem to be kind of, they feel organic. Gal Gadot is actually pretty good, not just in the physicality of the role, though she's really good in that. Mm-hmm. I think she does a good job of capturing the naivete and the kind of fish out of water. Like, her Wonder Woman, in some ways, is just as good as Christopher Reeve's Superman in the fact that they kind of embody that character in a mm-hmm. way that's hard, because they are sort of this beacon of goodness. They don't have a lot of edges, you know, terms of they're kind of babes in the wilderness to some degree. And I thought she sold all that stuff as a character. And Chris Pine, playing Steve here, he does a really nice job, too, of kind of playing off of her and giving her mm-hmm. someone to play off of. And I thought, I really enjoyed all that, and the movie kind of just whips along in those scenes, and even in the first few battle scenes. As you're building up to the battle scenes, there's a lot of actual thought, I think, and put into what's happening, and in giving the movie a kind of theme and a place for Wonder Woman to kind of work from as she's processing what people are and how they behave. And it didn't feel, those pieces didn't feel like it was kind of just rote exercises. Now, as we start to move in and we get a little bit more emphasis on the villains and a little more emphasis on the action, the movie becomes a little more familiar mm-hmm. and maybe not as interesting.
Well, I kind of disagree with that, because I know that you're not a huge fan of the superhero genre in general. I'm a big fanboy of comic books and comic book movies. So I do actually like seeing, like, two people duking it out with superpowers. So for me, I thought that was a pretty satisfying fight. But I can understand, as a guy who enjoys films in general, like, that may, after a while, get tiring. I get that. But, like, I actually kind of liked what they did with that. For me, this is a pretty solid attempt at making Wonder Woman. I was very clear right away, the first couple of minutes, this is not Zack Snyder's version of Wonder Woman. This is, like, an actually enjoyable, entertaining film we're about to see. It's not going to be dour and miserable and everybody's going to be dead in 5 seconds. This actually has a little hope and heart to it. And I really like, too, that they made Wonder Woman, they did that in such a way that she's not really sexualized or made an object. She's her own woman. She's a strong character on her own. And we haven't really seen strong character women in, you know, superhero roles that are leading the movie really in a strong way, because usually they're side characters. If you have a woman, a superhero movie,
or they're overly sexualized
or something.
or an honorary boy.
This, I feel like this is a good movie for, like, you take your girl to show her, you know, to get her involved in, like, comic books and stuff, because it's a strong character. There wasn't really anything too negative or stereotype-like about it. So I think they portrayed it very well. I had a lot of fun. I liked the side characters. And, you know, and like you mentioned, Captain America. Captain America's movie, his first one, he had, you know, a crew of guys that would go along with
him. They introduced the Howling Commandos, and you're looking at all these different types, and you're thinking, yeah, these guys are going to be fun to hang around with, but then we get a montage, and it's over.
Yeah, we don't get much of that. We just kind of see, oh, they're there, they're hanging out with Captain America. And they don't really make them full characters. No. They're just kind of there.
And they do that moment where they go and they pick their kind of ragtag group of guys. And yes, they probably could have been developed a little bit more, but I think that they gave them a decent amount of emphasis in the fact that they are just sort of that second tier mm-hmm. kind of group of characters. I think you and I will always agree that once you give us interesting characters, you would never go wrong just giving me more and more character development. You could cut a battle by half and give me more character development, and I would be happy.
Yeah.
So we're always going to come from that direction. But I would say that what they did here made these guys kind of seem memorable, and they're not your normal group of, like, happy-go-lucky, like, warrior types. There's an Irish sniper here who I think they do a really nice job of handling and showing that he's damaged by the war.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something I'll say about the movie. I think that the movie that's PG-13 rating, it's reasonable, but the movie also doesn't feel unnecessarily dark or even particularly problematic for young kids.
I was wondering to myself, did they really rate this PG-13? Because there is a little bit of violence. Yeah. You see a little bit of, like, war damage on soldiers and things
They're very judicious about what they
do.
Very judicious. They use it this movie is great about evoking things without telling you or saying that this is what is happening.
Yeah, it's not.
And it doesn't, so there's stuff going on where the movie gets across the stakes of war and the stakes of war to Diana and what she's seeing happening. And yet they do it in a way that isn't going to, it's not overt. And that even happens with the romance angles,
mm-hmm.
the way that's handled. Some of the early conversations are a little cutesy and on the head,
yeah.
but they find a way to make the romance work without going over the line, and I think it's stronger for that. I think that
it's not a sexual.
There's even a poignancy to where the story goes that I think is smarter and more mature than you would have. That actually kind of overcomes the two guys or two gals or guy and a gal hitting each other that occurs here. Like, the movie's about more than that. So these scenes, nothing in the movie really brought completely. Killed it for me at all. Mm-hmm. I think this is good. And talk a few more details quickly. The opening, the world of the Amazons, the way they lay that out, they do a really nice job of evoking a mythology
a
background story. And what's different
from
this...
That's what I meant by mystical. Like, they create a nice mythology.
When they did Thor, and I'll say this, I think this is a better movie than Thor. When Thor... I like Thor, but mm-hmm. when Thor came out, Thor sidestep that by the mystical mythology by giving us a story about aliens that mm-hmm. were perceived as gods. Wonder Woman really doesn't do that. I mean, they straight up basically tell you, regardless of maybe what they might do later, that mythology is mythology, and Zeus and Ares
yeah.
and all of the gods existed,
gods yeah.
and they created the Amazons for the same purpose they did in mythology, and yet there's a very real textured world there. Robin Wright she's really good early on, Connie Nelson. They give you a sense of this world as an actual, like, system where people live and grow, and it's not just a fantasy setting with some nice backdrops. I mean, mm-hmm. It's really well done. It sets it up, and it allows that mythology to kind of build, so it's almost like a Hercules-style story with this character of amazing powers kind of coming into the world, but they play with the mythology when the human characters who can't quite grasp it or don't want to grasp it are kind of bumping up against her because she sees the world in very clear-cut mythological yeah. terms. You know, Ares is a god of war, and Steve sees it that, you know, humans have war inside of them, and they will always have war mm-hmm. inside of them, and so things are more difficult and complex than that. I don't think the movie ever loses sight of those things, and so I liked it. I thought the score was great, too. I thought the score right off mm-hmm. the bat was very... noticeable, and it got those hero moments, but it had a nice grand epic scale to it. The movie is really good at being epic without any fighting going on initially. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to this great scene where she walks, struts across the battlefield, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it's a really nicely done comic book moment. But there's a lot of great moments even before that, when the Amazon's propelling down the cliffs, mm-hmm. and things like that. I mean, some of this is classic comic book imagery meshed with a 1930s style adventure movie that feels like a period piece, and the period details are great. And all the characters, all the way through, we have actors like David Thewlis is showing up, and we've got Danny Houston. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Houston. I will say this about, I think DC's still at this place, and this is true of some of the early Marvel movies. This has a problem of not having a terribly strong villain. I would say maybe towards the end things get a little more interesting. Mm-hmm. But I would say for the bulk of the movie, the villain is not as imposing as I think we're supposed to perceive him to be. I'll leave it at that because I understand there are things that happen overall that change how we mm-hmm. perceive that. I will say it was nice in, you know, a couple instances to see some of these characters overact. Actors who I know have it in them to overact. It was nice to see them chew the scenery a little bit. But yeah, I'm pretty happy like with this, and I think it's a good movie, and it's a movie that I think families are going to be pleased with because it isn't quite to the level of some of the Indiana Jones movies or things like that, but I think the level is pretty high. I think mm-hmm. I love the original Superman with Christopher Reeve. There's a ton of problems in it. There are scenes and characters that I would actually remove from that movie. Some of the action scenes in that movie are just dopey and silly.
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be a Margot Kidder like, "Can you read my mind?" like sort of spoken word monologue in the middle of that film. But I will always love the Superman, the movie. You know what I mean?
This is going to be nostalgic for a lot of
kids. It overcomes that.
Yeah,
Wonder like Woman, I think, is going to overcome a lot of these things and be a super strong movie. I think, maybe not super strong, it's going to be a movie that DC can kind of use as their foundation, I think, going forward.
Absolutely.
It's going to be weird entry. To have a movie like this where they really develop it. And again, I can't say, like, Gal Gadot, she is doing a really interesting performance because she's not relying on maybe some innate acting ability, but she's also not just standing around looking pretty. She uses a lot of her physicality. You know, she's obviously trained a lot, and you can tell physically that in the scenes where it's not a CGI person leaping over a cliff. But her facial expressions and the way she is played, because Wonder Woman isn't always, you see her reacting, she does a better job as a reactionary character early on in this film than a lot of other people you see in this fish out of water scenario. So she does a lot through just her facial expressions and her body language, which I thought is perfect for a comic book character. Mm-hmm. Reeves did that kind of thing. Some of the people that do, even you think of like Chris Hemsworth as Thor in the first Thor movie, he did a lot of that kind of stuff. Yep. I think Gadot shows a better like chops in some ways. Not that she's a better actor or anything, but like she shows more chops in getting the character than like, you know, Thor did rely a little bit on just looking beefy and, you know, and casting his eyes at the camera.
Yes.
And but yeah, I think this is a really, it's a pretty good movie. The people who are involved in it have reason to be proud of it. We didn't just dodge a bullet. I think we have another, even if this doesn't help propel DC forward, we have a pretty good superhero movie out of it.
I agree.
I think we have at least the start of a Wonder Woman franchise.
Well, and there was a couple of things that you thought maybe were not the strongest, and I kind of agree with you on some of those. What didn't really work for you so much in this movie? I know the final confrontation with
To me, it wasn't so much that there, like, it, when, as sometimes happens, I think this movie was so strong going forward. It was engaging me in its story. It was engaging me in its characters.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the action scenes, there's a couple of action scenes that they really work. But there's definitely a disconnect in sometimes what's going on screen. I'll give you an example. The director, Patty Jenkins, has created the geography of some of these action scenes in a way where here's Chris Pine and his little group of soldiers, of which Diana's kind of a part, but she usually goes off and does her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So while they're engineering some kind of smart way to defeat the enemy because they're just a bunch of ragtag humans, you're kind of caught up in that. We've got to run over here and grab this piece of shield. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman's tearing the smithereens out of a tank. That is cool. And that particular juxtaposition works. But it's sometimes I'm more interested in the things they're doing on the human level, and I'm not as interested. And it's not just
because
that these things are happening.
You do have that, like, well, she's a super powerful person up against human beings. You know what I mean? So I can definitely see what you're saying there.
And I should back up, and I'll say something, well, I don't care much for this kind of scene or that kind of scene, but you can make this work. We talked about Guardians of the Galaxy a few weeks ago. They found a way to keep me engaged in a scene where two people punch each other. This movie, though, it's the way in which it's done. The slow motion, this particular stylistic.
I was not a fan of
Recently, I got, I've been playing the Injustice game with my son, and I look like a lot of these action scenes towards the end particularly look like I was watching cutscenes out of Injustice. That's fine, but you've built this world where there's several different things going on at the same time. And what was going on, particularly in the final battle, I'm more interested in what Chris Pine is trying to achieve and where his storyline is going in that very moment than I am in watching her fight somebody. If someone had tried to sit down and apply the same level of imagination and realism to her final battle scene in that big superhero battle, I just don't think they tried. There's a level where they're trying to show you, hey, we really brought our A-game. We're trying to make this a cut above. But when we get to the action scenes, it's almost like we'll just go back to the Zack Snyder playbook. Not for all of them, and not they don't all play that way, but I just felt like they were willing to kind of coast in this way.
I don't know. See, I think it's more that they go to the comic book playbook rather than the Zack Snyder playbook.
But comic books, it's the movement and the things like that. The comic book playbook, you are interpreting that this is the way, and different people have interpreted it different ways. We saw how Ang Lee makes a comic book. We've seen Zack Snyder does slow-mo. We've seen people interpret this in different ways. And the way Patty Jenkins interprets Wonder Woman is what we see on Themyscira. It's what we see in how she brings Wonder Woman to the greater world and involves her in these different things. It's what happens on the battlefield and things like that. The rest is this sort of template that has already been well established by people like Snyder. I mean, that's just me. That was my feeling. Wonder Woman, we're talking about how we liked that this movie stepped away from things. So when it goes back to that, and because when you make a movie that's character-driven and then you kind of just drop the battle scenes and things in there, by the end of the movie, I was more interested in seeing the resolution of the characters and not the resolution of a big fight scene.
That's fair. I mean, that's a fair thing.
That was my feelings. But I think had they done those scenes different visually, I probably wouldn't have been as jarred by them.
I think one thing for me that I was not a huge fan of was, like you mentioned, the slow-mo. I know I don't think you agreed with this particular, but the way I took it, I felt like they were trying to put a little 300 flair into it, because it was, you know, another big Greek battle movie, you know, and I feel like that was part of it. Could have been they were just doing the Zack Snyder thing, because, hey, he did 300 to begin with. I felt like they layered that in. I didn't think that was necessary. It didn't add to the action scenes.
It worked okay in the Amazonian battles in the beginning.
Were more fantastical in nature to begin with.
And that's why
when you have like Wonder
worked.
Woman like beating up a bunch of Germans, but those, that's a little different.
But the choreography was interesting enough. He didn't mind it slowing down. You've got a person rappelling off the side of a cliff and shooting three arrows and then jumping on a horse. I don't mind if you slow that down. I don't need to see a CGI bullet fly across a battlefield at Wonder Woman 700 different ways in slow motion. Mm-hmm. Like, that isn't... It's barely interesting once. It's not that interesting several times.
Some of the CGI also, to me, was not the strongest, really.
Well, that was what I was saying, too. Like, particularly they get towards the end and there's a design on a villain that I just... In theory, was okay, but... You know, I kind of felt like I was watching like a ticked off Power Ranger at one point, and
Power Rangers.
Man, I have seen Power Rangers, and like, or maybe when someone took the Power Ranger toy and just melted it on a stove. But that's not to say that I didn't like everything that happens within that scene, or that these scenes are bad. There's no scenes in this movie that I feel are bad.
I agree.
I think what happened is the movie surprised me by having a texture that almost harkens back. And maybe this is too high a praise, harkens back to a movie like Raiders of the Lost Ark or something in that vein, the texture of the movie, I mean. And so when
it just never really fully gets to that level.
Yeah, because it goes away. I think there were ways to make those action scenes feel of a piece with this movie, but if they had done that, I think they would have further severed, This is going to be, and this is the Nathan comment. It's all commentary, but this is probably the more the Nathan opinion part. This will be the curse of Batman versus Superman on all things going forward. There's going to be a need to do this thing here, which is, here's a movie that if we had never had Batman versus Superman, and if we had not had, we've got to get Justice League going. I mean, it's going to be weird that we have a really good Wonder Woman movie, and then people look back at Batman versus Superman, man, she's kind of slumming here, but this is where she showed up first, you know? This idea that they're going to want to keep tying these things at least a little bit, have that same visual style. I mean, a good example, that like, pseudo heart theme song or whatever that Wonder Woman has, like,
I love that.
That's fine, but it's not
Warcraft.
It is. But the overall piece of music, that little tune is okay. Like her having her little signifier, I like. But if you listen to a whole piece of music, it's not as interesting as the music they actually scored for this film. You know, which is totally separate. And you hear it at the end, the like kind of Wonder Woman attack march or whatever that is. It's okay, but it's not as good as the other work they did. So I just feel that the movie's good. The areas where it isn't as good, I noticed, were all things that harkened back to Batman versus Superman. Yeah. So
I think that's fair to say. I kind of agree with you on that. I think if, you know, you have your kids want to see it, you'll definitely have a fun afternoon.
Oh no, no, I really think that maybe we've been in just trying to coming right out of the movie. We probably sound like we're more down on where. I think
no,
you and I both
a great
enjoyed
time. I thought
it.
It was great. Yeah.
I think that it's the second best movie I've seen this summer so far, and it's the other one being Guardians. I thought Guardians was a little bit better, but this is still very good. I mean, it's in the upper tier of superhero movies as far as I'm concerned. And
it helped slowly repair part of my broken heart.
Yeah, Batman, I mean, I liked it as much as most of the Marvel. The Marvel origin story movies, to be fair. I would say this. Wonder Woman's about on the same level to me as Doctor Strange, which was another movie I really loved that came out earlier in the year. They do a lot of fun things with the character. The actors commit themselves to doing it. And it's not so much that there's bad things about it. You just wish it had gone just a little further because of how good it is. So that's about it for us, guys. We will get this up. It's a little bit of a shorter episode, but hey, we usually bring you an hour and a half.
Hey, it's already like
juggernauts.
Near 11 o'clock.
Yeah, so we need to get ourselves home, but I will get this up. Just very quickly, I do think this movie is appropriate for most families, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be able to figure out your speed, but
slightly stronger than PG. Just
Yeah, I'd say this isn't like, and the tone of the film is what's important here, and it gives a historical kind of grasp of things. It's appropriate. Like, they never do anything that's appropriate. They never have a violent scene just to have a violent
scene.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I think is hugely important to this kind of thing. All right. Well, everyone, take care and you have a great evening.
See ya.
We hope you enjoyed tonight's cast, and we hope that you'll join us again when Phantom Galaxy returns with a brand new episode. If you wish to contact us, you can email us at phantomcasts@gmail.com. We're also available. You can find us on phantomgalaxy.podbean.com. All of the music in tonight's episode comes from Lithuanian artist Stellar Drone, whose ambient electronica creates soundscapes that are both haunting and fascinating to listen to. Stellar Drone's music is actually available for free on the internet in a couple of different places. You can find his Facebook page under Stellar Drone on Facebook, and you can also find all of his albums available on stellardrone.bandcamp.com. Until next time, this is Nathan Parabol with the Phantom Galaxy.